5. Living in one's own fiction, in which the author finds himself trapped in his own artistic universe. Absolute authenticity of detail is essential to our work. Anything less is mere quackery, the magic Christian. And don't call me Shirley. Airplane. Shay's death set off another bumpy ride for me on the information superhighway. Computer nets, faxes, and phones soon resounded with voices or printouts declaring that Shay's death, like mine, was only a hoax. Some even claimed that Shay and I cooked it all up ourselves as a publicity stunt. Others insisted that he had died, but I hadn't, or that I had died, but he hadn't. Hardly anybody seemed to believe anything quite as simple and straightforward as the truth. Somebody faked my obituary, but Shay really died. I saw the irony in all this, of course, but I felt too crippled by grief to enjoy the joke. Still, I have a weird sympathy for the bloke or blokes in Cambridge who started the original fake, declaring one Illuminatus author dead, and now, like me, having to deal with the other author dying instead. By now, they must feel a little confused, a little guilty, and perhaps a bit superstitious. Don't fool around with the masks of reality until you can handle the reality of masks. Slowly, as March turned to April, the controversy petered out, or I thought it did. The denials of my death by people who had heard me, or the virtual me, lecture one place or another in the weeks after my death, or who had talked to me on the phone, convinced more and more people. The whimsies and or paranoias of the more imaginative hackers faded away. I wrote a few obituaries for Shay for magazines that requested them. By May, I thought it had all faded away, except my mourning over my best friend, which will never end entirely. Then around May 22nd, 3 months after the first forged obituary went online, I got a phone call from some nice people I know slightly in Nevada City at the Institute for the Harmonious Development of the Human Being, formerly the Fake Sufi School, and after that, briefly, the Snake Fufi School. They had finally heard the rumor of my death and wanted to find out for themselves whether or not I had passed on to the great holodeck in the sky. I broke the news of my continued existence, or my continued delusion of existence. I must say they took it well. I think it even made them happy. H.L. Mencken, literary critic and freethinker, wrote a fictitious news story about the violent opposition when the first bathtub appeared in America. He thought everybody would get the joke, an error I've often made myself with some of my own jests. Instead, millions believed his story, and although Mencken denied it many times, the denials never circulated as fast or as far as the myth. Many people still believe religious conservatives rioted when plumbers installed the first bathtub in Washington, D.C. More and more now, I think of Mencken's bathtub hoax and realize that some fantasies go on forever. New people will hear about my heart attack or how the CIA poisoned me every few months now, and I will have to deny it again and again as long as I live. And whenever I do die, many fans will not believe it and will flatly denounce the obituary as a new hoax. Borges finally decided he lived inside a Borges story. Phil Dick definitely spent his last decade inside a Phil Dick story. I think I have gotten stuck now, perhaps forever, in a Robert Anton Wilson story. As Wilde once noted, nature imitates art as much as art imitates nature. We never see a foggy city the same way after we've encountered a Whistler painting of a foggy city. Seawater never looks the same after we've read Lovecraft's stories of Cthulhu, the Deep Ones, the Shoggoths, and the other loathsome creatures who dwell at the ocean's floor. Friendly strangers never look quite as honest after you've passed through a Thomas Harris novel about serial killers and how they inspire trust and confidence and persuade otherwise sensible people to come with them to lonely places.